This from Frank to open up the show. I've read this one a few times. Just pay attention and see if you can follow along. Frank writes, Kevin, weak sauce on the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese topic today. He meant yesterday. That foul was called flagrant one, and it was a good call. There's no place in basketball for that kind of foul, and Angel had every right to jump up and defend herself against the so-called savior, LOL, exclamation point. This league has been around long before Caitlin Clark arrived, and it will be here long after she's gone. Awfully convenient to just say that it was a typical basketball play. It might have been, but it's never typical when Clark and Reese are involved. Think you missed big on this one. Still love the show. Well, thank you, Frank, for that. I appreciate it. Like, I've read this a couple of times. I'm not really sure, Frank, what you're saying or maybe what you're insinuating. On this topic yesterday, I'm pretty sure I said the following because this is what I thought when I saw the highlight of it. I said, basketball play, basketball reaction, meaning basketball play, Caitlin Clark took a hard foul, made her earn the 2 points at the free throw line. Basketball reaction, because when you get fouled hard, there is often an emotional reaction. So Angel Reese's reaction, jumping up to defend herself. Basketball reaction, competitive reaction. And I just said nothing to really see here other than it's Clark and Reese. And the bottom line is any kind of thing between the two of them that continues to build up this storyline, this rivalry storyline, is probably really good for the league. That's pretty much it. I didn't say, by the way, the middle portion of this, Frank, you've got to be kidding me if you think that this league was like the same. You didn't say that specifically, but saying this league's been around long before Caitlin Clark arrived and will be here long after she's gone. The so-called savior, LOL, that's exactly what she's been. The so-called is not, is just, she is the savior. It's not so-called. She saved the league. The league literally was hemorrhaging and had been for 27 years, needing to be funded year in and year out by the NBA to actually have the product continue. And then she arrived. I mean, they've got Wikipedia pages titled The Caitlin Clark Effect. There have been studies done on what she meant to the WNBA. What planet are you on, dude? No, it was her. It was her. I pulled up a couple of the things. I mean, most of you know this. There was, before, her season in Indiana last year, the first season, there was a study conducted off of her college career at Iowa by Ball State University. Ball State's in Indiana. I don't know what city Ball State's in, what town Ball State's in Indiana, but I know it's in Indiana. Member of the Mid-American Conference. There was a study done by Ball State University that estimated before Clark even arrived that she would bring over $2.4 million to Central Indiana and draw 26,000 more fans to Fever games. Like, in aggregate, 26,000 more fans. Yeah, that was a little bit underdone. Not a great study conducted by Ball State. Her first month in the WNBA, the Sparks sold out 19,103. The Liberty 17,700. She sold out every single arena and set attendance records everywhere, home and away. Places like Washington, where the Mystics have their own home court, had to move the games against Indiana to Capital One to accommodate the much larger demand for Caitlin Clark. Her first game against the Mystics last year, June 7th, 2024, moved to Capital One Arena, had an attendance of 20,000. 333, the most for a WNBA game since the 2007 WNBA Finals. I can't tell you who played in those finals. And the fifth most for a regular season game of all time. And then when they had another game in September at Capital One Arena, sold out again. It exceeded the other. It was 20,711, and that became the highest ever attendance for a regular season game. So after the season last year, Indiana University, Columbus, so that's Indiana University, Columbus, Ohio, Indiana. I know the Indiana University, Purdue, whatever, university. There are so many offshoots of some of these big schools. Anyway, a finance professor did his own post-first season study of the Caitlin Clark effect. And he determined that her presence generated incremental revenue that made her presence worth more than 25% of the entire revenue generated by the WNBA in the season. Her presence alone. Attendance, TV, merchandising sales. He also determined that Clark's overall impact, economic impact on the city of Indianapolis was not the $2.4 million that Ball State projected, but it was $36.5 million. And he said, quote, "The numbers are so staggering, they don't even seem real," closed quote. So, look, back to your, that wasn't the sole purpose of Frank, you writing me, to kind of, it seems like diminish maybe, borderline mock, the Caitlin Clark effect. I mean, it sounds like you're a WNBA fan, both pre-Caitlin Clark and with Caitlin Clark. You've got to know, dude. I mean, you've got to be paying attention to the difference. This league is now actually making money for the first time in the history of the league after 27 years of hemorrhaging year in and year out. But as far as the actual play itself, I know that there were reports of racial, things being said from the crowd. That is completely unacceptable. You get that in a lot of situations in sports. It's awful. You know, we see that in Salt Lake City. We've seen it in, by the way, in Indiana for Indiana college basketball games. In Bloomington. We've seen it in lots of different places. I mean, who's the receiver that played for us? The Ohio State quarterback who played receiver. And when Washington played Kansas City on Monday Night Football in 2017, said that people were hurling the N-word at him from the crowd towards the bench. Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor? That's it, right? Max, you paying attention?
Yeah, no, I am.
Was it Terrell Pryor who was the receiver for us? It was Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, it was Terrell Pryor. This is also
11, right?
Yeah, this has also happened. Adam Jones, I think it was. When he was playing for the Orioles in Boston, this happened to him as well. So it's been a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. You don't want to see that. There's no place for that in society, in sporting events. You know, especially, you know, by the way, the Terrell Pryor thing, I forget how that played out. I think they were going to investigate it. I forget what actually, what the result of it was. But to me, you know, even Caitlin Clark and even Angel Reese, they both said basketball play. There's just like no way that you'd be watching a men's game, an NBA game, a high school basketball game, and would say anything other than hard foul but smart foul. You know, if you're going to foul, you make sure they don't get the and one. And if you saw that play from the beginning, Angel Reese pushes another Indiana Fever player out of the way, and Caitlin Clark's like pointing at the play, like, for the ref to say, how did you miss that? And then when Angel Reese comes down with the ball, Clark goes and makes what I think is a competitive reaction basketball play. And Angel Reese jumps up in a very competitive basketball way. I guess we could have taken calls on it yesterday, Frank, That would have made it less weak, but that's the way I saw it. I saw basketball, you know, the push-off is a, you know, it's a basketball play. It's a foul by Angel Reese that didn't get called. A lot of times we don't see push-offs called. That was a pretty egregious push-off, not to catch the attention of a referee. She grabs the offensive rebound. She's a prolific rebounder. I think we know that already. I think that is right. Somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, but that is really kind of the overall essence of her game. She is a high-volume, outstanding rebounder. And I guess shot blocker. Is she a good shot blocker, too? I think she is.
Yeah,
she's not Caitlin Clark.
Correct.
Like, Caitlin Clark is a superstar offensive player. And all around. By the way, she had 20, 10, and 10 in this game, and they won by 30-something points. Max, I don't know if I've asked you this before. Sorry. Do you pay attention to the WNBA?
Occasionally. Ever since Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have joined the league, I've been paying much more attention to it.
Wasn't Indiana not that good last year?
Yeah.
So are they supposed to be much better this year?
They've retooled a little bit, and I think they have a lot higher expectations this year than they have the past two seasons.
Okay. I mean, it would certainly be excellent for the league if Indiana was really good. You know, the last year was the first year. I mean, I talked about this during those months where they were playing these games, and I don't think I had ever watched a WNBA game at any point start to finish until Caitlin Clark got into the league, and then I watched several of her games, not all of them, but several of them, and the player, and I remember I came in here, the player that I watched, and I forget, I think she plays for Las Vegas. Did Las Vegas win the title last year? Who won the title?
The New York Liberty won the title last year.
Okay. Was Las Vegas really good because
They played each other in the final.
Asia Wilson, she's the incredible one. She plays for Vegas, right?
Yes.
Watching, the only reason I came across it is because they were playing Indiana. And I'm like, whoever that is, that's the best player in this league. And then I was told by, I think, Denton, yeah, she's won the MVP a few times already. She was clearly the best player that I watched. I didn't watch all the teams. I just watched Indiana several times last year. Was she the MVP last year? She was, right?
Asia, I believe, won MVP last year.
Hold on, I'm looking up her thing here. She's a two-time WNBA champion in 22 and 23. She was the WNBA Finals MVP in 20, and she's a three-time WNBA MVP 2020, 2022, and last year 2024.
Yep.
Yeah, she's really good, really good. What else? I mean, I don't have much more to this. Like, this was not anything close to Angel Reese stalking Caitlin Clark around the floor in that LSU-Iowa game from a few years ago. You know, that was, to me, that crossed the line, not just the sportsmanship line, but even beyond that. This wasn't that. Angel Reese's reaction was a competitor's reaction to getting fouled hard in a basketball game. Caitlin Clark's reaction to seeing her teammate get pushed off and then not wanting to give up an easy two and making sure that it's not an and one was a hard foul basketball play. Period. And it's, yes, anytime you have that kind of thing between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, given their history of having this rivalry, that's good for the league. Every time they play, I would imagine the numbers are pretty good. But, yeah. And no, the only follow-up to this is, and I have not seen it yet, I'm not going to lie to you, but I did see just before the show started, several of you linking me to RG3 and to Ryan Clark, who I guess are in some spat about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, I guess.
It's grown further than that. from what I've read. I could not give you a full rundown on exactly what has happened, but why, like, players are, Ryan Clark mentioned RG3's wife. It's been, it's become, it's blown up to be even bigger than it is.
I've not listened to anything. What I read before, which many of you sent me links to, is that Ryan Clark, I guess, said something to the effect of, well, RG3 said Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark. And Ryan Clark said, you can't possibly have any perspective on a black woman's thought process because you're married to a white woman. I mean, these two people honestly are insufferable. I mean, we've known that about RG3 forever, but the lack of self-awareness. Like, every time Ryan Clark goes off on something or RG3 goes off, I have tuned it out in recent years. It's just not interesting. And it's just such, like, I don't think, like, somebody who's self-aware would understand this is not embracing nearly as many people as it is turning off. Maybe I shouldn't go with this performative take. But they don't figure it out. I don't know. If you want to weigh in on this topic, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. As far as the play goes, Frank, again, like, you know, when you say it was a flagrant one, it was deserved. Yeah, okay, fine. I mean, hard fouls sometimes get called flagrant ones. Whatever. It's fine. Take the flagrant one. And then the response by Angel Reese and the other player for Indiana, Boston is her last name. They got technical fouls, I guess. We see this in basketball now all the time. Whatever. But then you say it might have... You said awfully convenient to just say that it was a typical basketball play. It might have been, but you just said earlier in the email that it wasn't, that there was no place in basketball for that kind of foul. So you're a little bit sort of disconnected here, but I get the overall theme of we didn't spend a lot of time on this yesterday. So if you have thoughts and you want to weigh in on Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and what did you make of it? Again, I can't be more clear. To me, basketball, hard foul, after, you know, seeing her teammate get pushed out of the way, Angel Reese grab an offensive rebound, she points to the ref, she hard fouls, not going to give up the and one, and then the reaction from Angel Reese, completely normal, competitive response to being hard fouled. Nothing to see after that, other than, and I agree, because it's Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and they've had this few-year rivalry thing going, it gets blown up, and that is good for the WNBA. Anything Caitlin Clark seems to be involved in, you know, scoring 42 or being involved in a confrontation with Angel Reese or probably any other player in the league, good for the league. 301-230-0980. On the show today, you're going to hear some of my conversation with actually one of my favorite conversations to have this time of year. Now, typically we have this conversation with Merrill Hodge before the draft. We've done it with him, I don't know, 3 or 4 times over the last 6 or 7 years, typically before a draft where Washington may be in the quarterback, you know, discussion. But we had the conversation the other day after the draft, and he just had a lot of really good insight like he typically does. So you'll hear some of that on the show today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and we are live and we are clear right here if you download the Odyssey app on the team980.com.
Basketball player, that's got it right.
You got the flagrant. Alia, you got a technical. What kind of happened there?
If he got the tech?
I know.
Wait, what?
I got the tech?
No, no, no.
Let's not make it anything that it's not. It was just a good play on the basketball. I'm not sure what the refs saw to upgrade it, and that's up to their discretion after watching initial whatever happened during the play and then whatever happened after. You know, we watch a lot of basketball. It's a take foul to put them at the free throw line or rather give up 2 points. You know, I've watched a lot of basketball in my life. That's exactly what it was. I wasn't trying to do anything malicious. That's not the type of player I am. So, yes, wasn't anything like that. And I went for the ball, and that's clear as day in the replay. You watch it. You know, it shouldn't have been upgraded. But, again, that's up to the ref's discretion. But I appreciate it. AB having my back, I guess. I don't even know what she did. I didn't see that.
Well, girl.
Have fun playing that fine.
Can I get out? Can you?
I got it, Claire. Don't worry. I wonder what
it is. AB is Elijah Boston. Aaliyah Boston, yeah. The first part of that was Angel Reese just saying basketball play, right?
That is exactly what she said.
Yeah. By the way, I've been reading during the break this Ryan Clark and RG3 thing. It's hysterical. I mean, so RG3 said about the foul, after watching Caitlin Clark's flagrant foul on Angel Reese and the aftermath, there's no way Angel Reese can continue the lie that she doesn't dislike Caitlin Clark. Has she said that she doesn't dislike Caitlin Clark? I guess she's said that in the past. I know what hatred looks like. Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark, not some basketball rivalry hate either. Hate. So then... by the way, Griffin then later says it was purely a basketball opinion. It was a, quote, sports take, close quote. Actually, at the very end, he says it's not a sports take or a basketball take. He says it's not some basketball rivalry hate either. It's hate. I know what hatred looks like. So then Ryan Clark, I think he does this. It looks like he's doing this on a podcast, his own podcast. What's that podcast called? Pivot, I think.
The Pivot, yeah.
Yeah. He says, when RG3 jumps onto the hate train or the angry train, it now follows what we saw from Keith Olbermann. I have no idea what Olbermann said. What we saw from Dave Portnoy. I don't know what Portnoy said. As they poured onto Angel Reese to make her the villain and Caitlin Clark heroic or a hero story. He said, the one thing we know about RG3 is he's not having conversations at his home about what black women have to endure in this country, about what young black women and athletes like Angel Reese have had to deal with being on the opposite side of Caitlin Clark's rise and ascension into stardom. If you're RG3, when is the last time within your household you've had a conversation about what Angel Reese is dealing with? You haven't been able to do that because in both of your marriages, you've been married to white women. I love how he just slips in both of your marriages. You've been married to white women. And he continues, he says, you haven't had opportunities to have those conversations to educate you on what they're feeling, what black women deal with, and what they're seeing when they think of a young Angel Reese. And the whole time that he's mimicking Angel Reese and bobbing his head up and down and moving his neck while he's doing this whole piece, his wife is in the back, a meaning and clapping. When I worked with RG3, he would make all of these sort of corny jokes about milk and how much he loved it and how important it was. And he always points out on social media the color of his wife's white skin, as if the color of her skin is what makes her special, as if the color of her skin is what makes her a good wife. Closed quote. So RG3 then snapped back and said, quote, Ryan Clark personally attacking me and my family personally over a sports opinion is cowardly, spineless, and weak. Griffin, so he apparently went on for like 2 minutes about this. By the way, I'm not typically a defender of RG3, but that is a personal attack that in so many ways is really, a reach. I don't know if it is or not because I don't know anything about RG3's upbringing, but I assume that both of his parents are black. I think he's got a sister. And has probably been around black women, may have more of a perspective. And whether he does or doesn't, there's no doubt that that is a personal, low blow attack. Apparently, Ryan Clark went on and on, and I'm trying to find it because a buddy of mine said that he went on and on about how he covered for him at ESPN when, I don't know. I mean, look, he's not on ESPN anymore. Yeah, I'm kind of with RG3, but at the same time, to make it out to be a sports take when you actually said it's not a sports take. I have no idea if Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark. Nobody in that league should hate Caitlin Clark. She is and has been their meal ticket. They were about, if she, with no Caitlin Clark, they'd be playing for a league that makes no money and loses millions and millions of dollars a year. And, you know, at some point, you know, you, some of you understand this. You fund a losing entity long enough, eventually you might just say, I'm going to chalk it up to a big loss and just write it off. The league could have eventually done that. No one should hate Caitlin Clark. They can be jealous. We've certainly seen some of that. They don't have to like her, but they should, you know, anybody with any level of intellect has to understand what she has meant to that league and what she has meant to them in terms of what their personal compensation, you know, potential has become because of her. But as far as the, you know, getting back to the play itself, I mean, I don't think it's that hard. Hard foul, not giving up a three-point play. If it gets called a flagrant after they look at it, that's fine. The reaction from Angel Reese, total competitive reaction from a player that got, you know, fouled hard. Next. Seriously, like, move on. Other than the two of them and their rivalry and all that stuff is good for the league. I mean, when's the next time they play?
June 7th.
June 7th. Where's the game?
I believe it is in Chicago.
Indiana plays tonight. You know, like, the Indiana Fever outdraw last year, outdrew the Indiana Pacers. They had better TV ratings locally than the Pacers did.
Because of the Indiana Fever, the Washington Mystics set an attendance record.
Yeah, I talked about that in the open.
Yeah, it's
they're
crazy.
Playing Atlanta tonight in Indiana. I don't know. Who's on it on Atlanta? Where did the girl from Connecticut go to?
Paige what Beckers. She went to the Dallas Wings.
Paige Beckers.
Yes, she's a Dallas.
She's a
wing.
Good player too. I she's not Caitlin Clark. I don't think in playing ability and then also like the effect that I think she'll have on the league. I like if she had come along before Caitlin Clark, I don't think there's something beyond just look, there is the color of her skin, straight, the style of play, the length in which she shoots. I mean, she is like the Steph Curry equivalent to the WNBA. The logo threes is attractive and fun for basketball fans, you know, of all kinds to watch. All right, you guys have some thoughts. We have some callers. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Let's start with my guy James in D.C. James, go ahead.
Hey, how you all doing today?
What's up, James?
My first time calling in, and I enjoy the show.
Thanks, James.
What I wanted to say is that I don't think that Angel hates her as a person. I feel like it's just a professional hatred. You know, I think when she won the title in college, Angel probably thought that she'd be more celebrated. Perhaps she'd be the higher pick. But Caitlin is just a better all around player. I'm from DC, so I really enjoy seeing the all around players and all the attention, I guess, that Caitlin gets for being such a good player is hard sometimes for peers to take. Even though, like as you said, it's benefiting the league, all the players are going to make more money until they are able to accept that this is just what we're going to get. And it's unfortunate because it shouldn't be a racial thing amongst her fans. Every time something happens, it's like it turns into, one or the other, the fans are racist, the referees are racist, and that shouldn't be the way. We watch Magic, we watch Bird come into the league, and we as fans need to grow up. And maybe once we do that, the players may follow. But for now, the rivalry is going to be profitable, they're going to make money, and, hopefully the league can continue.
Yeah, no, that's a. I appreciate that, James. You know, some common sense to the conversation. Look, I mean, I have always felt, and I think it's one of the reasons we all love sports. I mean, there is the drama, the unpredictability. It is the ultimate reality show. Sports are, because you don't know the outcome. And sports for a long, long time now has been like the ultimate or the purest form of meritocracy. It's about winning. And whether you're black, white, or purple, if you can help me win, you're going to play. And that's the other part of it, is there's this, you know, community that kind of comes together in sports, you know, whether, you know, it's weekends, you know, playing pickup basketball or being at your kids' games, or there's so much to sports. It's so much fun. Like, I prefer not to have the other be a part of it. And I think in sports, more often than not, and more often than in any other part of life, it isn't. But anyway, Ian wants to weigh in. Ian, go ahead.
This caller was spot on. I think Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark have become a proxy race war, where everything about Caitlin Clark, because she's white, because she went to Iowa and not UConn or somewhere else, because she's straight, it's become, she's this symbol for something else. And there was a lot of backlash this summer when she said, hey, I acknowledge that this league was built on the backs of a lot of African-American players, and that made a large portion of her fan base upset. Angel Reese on the other side represents a different point of view. And it's very odd because, like we've seen, there's other white players in the NBA that are not lesbian, and they don't endure what Caitlin Clark does. And obviously there's a ton of African-American women that are in the WNBA that don't endure the vitriol that Angel Reese does. I think with Angel Reese, if I was advising her, I would say some of this you're bringing a little bit on yourself. You know, when you taunted her when 3 years ago in the Final Four, you kind of created this kind of rivalry, if you will. And it, in some ways, I don't know if she hates her or not, but it's very clear that Caitlin Clark is in her head, if you will. Angel Reese is a fantastic and phenomenal player in her own right, and I would really encourage her to just kind of stay within that circle, because what's happened now with the WNBA is there's, like you said, she's the Tiger Woods, if not greater, for this league.
In terms of needle movers, that's really the last one that we've seen move the needle from one number to another that much in terms of percentage of growth.
Absolutely. And so I understand the jealousy. I understand the dynamics. But what's happening now is every move of those two players is magnified. And it's really unfortunate, because I think Caitlin Clark has handled herself with such dignity and class and kind of just wants to play basketball. You've heard her say that multiple times. Like, I'm not here to represent a movement or a race or a different group of people. I just want to play. Yeah. And it's going to be really tough, because I think rivalries sell, hatred sells, and I think this game, I'm sure, will be
rivalries
a
are great
game.
For sports. Then they're sports of all kind. We shouldn't make it out to be any more, you know, because it's women's sports. There are rivalries in every gender and every level of sports, and it typically is good for the games and good for those that watch it. It makes it absolutely more interesting.
Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see how this kind of parlays in the long run, because I think there's a lot of amplification of both of them. And I think, again, they're both phenomenal players. They just want to play. But I think Angel Reese is bringing some of this on herself, and I understand.
I don't think she did that the other day, though.
No, she didn't. She didn't. But you saw her reaction where she's like, what the F is wrong with you? You're effing crazy. You saw her say that. Like, that shows a different level of reaction than, hey, that was just a hard take foul,
right?
You know?
Okay. Let me move on. We got our fill of iron, but it was good stuff. I appreciate that. Let's go to our guy Bones. Bones, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? Look, you know, for me, you know, I like the rivalry, you know, you know, it's a good rivalry for the WNBA because, you know, the NBA always had a rivalry, right? You know, but far as all the other stuff, man, you know, that Ryan Clark and RG3 going through, you know what I mean? If people bringing race into it, man, you know, that's ugly, man, you know, and I ain't feeling that part of it, you know what I mean? I mean, let's let them play, let them have their little spat, you know what I'm saying? Let's enjoy the competition, man, you know, and leave all that other stuff up out of it, man, you know, I mean, come on, you know, outside people creating more chaos than them two, you know what I mean? You know, okay, you know, it's cool. And the reason you gave her the face when he won the championship, you know, now Kate Nicole come back. You know, I mean, that's how it goes, you know. That's rivalry right there. Thanks for taking my call,
thanks,
y'all.
Bones. Peace. Appreciate it. Yeah. Let's go to Lap. Lap, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Kevin? I like the rivalry, like Bones. Shout out to Bones. That's my guy right there, Hall of Famer caller. But, you know, we can't deny that it is going to always be race, especially if it's going to be a white and a black person, just with anything. It's always going to be that way. It's just unfortunate. It's sad. It's the way the world, you know, it's like that with, you know, Magic and Bird, too, as well. But real true fans that like the sport, you know what I'm saying, we want to see the rivalry. We really don't want that. But, you know, it's going to be, so you're going to have more eyes on that. You're going to have more people tuning in just because of that as well. But I like the competition, you know what I'm saying? So it's helping the sport, Kevin. It's growing the sport. It's getting more people. You know, it's just unfortunate it takes so many years because there were so many talented women, you know, Cynthia Cooper and Cheryl. I mean, for so, you know, Cheryl Miller, like, it's just unfortunate they didn't get that spotlight and shine. So I'm just hoping that these girls now really embrace it, you know what I'm saying, and take it for what it's worth. And,
Lap,
you know,
I have a question. I have a question for you because you follow the league. We're both very familiar with what Magic Johnson and Larry Bird did for the NBA when they came into the league together. I don't view this as a repeat or a comparable. From two standpoints, and the second part of this is I'm projecting here because I don't really know. But first of all, okay, Caitlin Clark's effect on the WNBA is singular. She is the primary, if not the 100% reason for the increase, the massive increase in the interest in the league. Whereas when Magic and Bird came in together, it was the two of them. You really couldn't separate who meant more to the league. Who, you know, it was equal. And then secondly, there was also this recognition pretty early on that these are two of the greatest players we've ever seen, even as young players. Caitlin Clark's a great player. I don't know where, you know, if she's going to be the Magic or the Bird and she's going to go down as an all-time great. But right now, there is separation in terms of who the better player is, right? Clark is clearly the better all-around player than Angel Reese. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you absolutely right.
Okay.
I was saying with the magnitude of the eyes that are on it, the spotlight, the popularity that the sport is growing as a whole. Like, I'm saying it's having that
effect. It's growing, though, because of one person more than any other. Because it never, it wasn't growing before she got there. It was fledgling.
Definitely, I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's growing more with the rivalry from college. You know what I'm saying? That the issue that they had from college. And then now we're seeing it in real time with the WNBA as well. So that's
But what I'm saying is if she never faced Angel Reese in college and there wasn't a rivalry, Caitlin Clark would still be moving the needle at this level.
Yeah.
I just don't think it has as much to do with Angel Reese. I think it's like almost all about Caitlin Clark.
She has a pop a part of it, though, and you don't think that the rivalry has some effect on it for the numbers, too? I mean, Caitlin is definitely moving the needle. I agree with you there, Kevin.
Look,
but
when she plays Angel Reese, is that game more highly rated than Angel Reese playing against another team, Washington? Yes, I would certainly agree. I would certainly guess that that's true, but...
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, so there's a small incremental bump when they play each other, but is Angel Reese selling out arenas by herself everywhere she goes? I don't know. Maybe she is.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what her numbers is, but I know when she came, I know when she played the Mystics, like, it was a lot of people tuning in to go there. I was mad that I didn't even get to go, you know, to see her or Caitlin Clark, because I take my daughter to some games sometime, and she really enjoys it, so I definitely would want to try to catch it. But, yeah, it's definitely moved the needle, man. I mean, think about it. When they had that rivalry, Kevin, in college, like, that was a big story for a long time.
Yeah, you but I was this hearing and well watching Caitlin Clark bomb logo threes long before they matched up against each other in the tournament. Now, I certainly remember that matchup and at the end of it, the ugliness of the end of it. But Caitlin Clark is a one-person draw. She doesn't need Robin. She's Batman.
She doesn't need Jimmy Butler. But it has helped to get the spotlight on the Kevin. Yeah. I'm just saying. Right. I'm just
thanks
saying.
Numbers
are damn good with that.
Yep. Appreciate it. Alex in Crofton. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin. One thing no one really talks about is just before, you know, Caitlin fouled her, Reese two-hand pushed the girl
I've mentioned that several times. Yeah, there was an obvious push-off before. Yep.
Yeah. She just went in, you know, it wasn't even that bad of a foul.
Right.
And if you see Caitlin when she came in the league, she was getting knocked over left and right.
Of course.
Just got up and played. And, you know, Angel Reese, she's to me it's obvious she's just so jealous. That comment she made about, well, people are watching me too, and she just can't stand it. She's very insecure, very immature. And Caitlin's like, whatever, I'm just playing. She's just handling a lot better. And it's just obvious jealousy. And it's probably, it doesn't really happen in the men's game, but it probably is the women's game, this, you know, white girl comes along and gets all the accolades and all the attention, and she just doesn't like it. I don't understand, you know. It's better for her. They can make more money. She's just very immature, and honestly, I can't stand her. I don't think she's
I think that that's like a different conversation, because I'm not necessarily the biggest Angel Reese fan either, but I don't watch enough of her game. I've watched her enough to say that I do like her game. I love her tenacity, her compete, her rebounding, her defense. There's a part of her game that I actually enjoy watching. But that's separate. You know, maybe that should have been the gist of the conversation. Do you know, this hate and where it stems from and the whole thing. To me, the actual moment on Saturday, was it Saturday or Sunday? I'm forgetting now. That was just a normal basketball situation. It was a push-off that didn't get called. See those all the time. It was a hard foul to not let her get an and. And it was a reaction after getting hard fouled that's pretty typical. Beyond that, yeah, I'm sure there may be a bit more venom in her response for Caitlin Clark. I would have actually loved to have seen Caitlin Clark stand up to her rather than turn around and walk away. But a lot of people might actually say it was better that she turned around and walked away. But, all right. Maybe one last thought when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.
All right, quiet day around the sports world and the DMV. But the Bears have agreed to a deal with Joe Tooney to keep him in Chicago past 2025. It is a two-year extension worth up to $35 million with $33.5 million guaranteed. Following the loss to Carolina, the Capitals have announced defenseman Rasmus Sandin will be playing at the IIHF World Championships this summer, and the Braves come to town to play the Nats tonight. Mitchell Parker expected to be on the bump. Nats on deck with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler is at 6:15. Also tonight, conference finals get started, both in the NBA and the NHL. The Timberwolves will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder at 8:30, and the Panthers will go up against the Carolina Hurricanes at 8. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This from Kendall. Kendall writes, Kevin, think about it from an opposite perspective. What if Reese had fouled Clark rather than the other way around? Would it have still been just a basketball play? It would have been for me. Yeah. Now, I mean, I think I'm right about this, but wasn't Caitlin Clark hard fouled the entire season last year? wasn't every game she was the target in an overly at times aggressive and physical way? And didn't she pretty much handle it with incredible sort of restraint and you know, class may not be the right way to describe it, but restraint and competitiveness and coming back, you know, with basketball rather than anything else? I think that's true. I mean, I can remember sitting here talking about a couple of incidents last year when she was physically and very aggressively targeted. And, you know, a lot of people just wanted to say, hey, welcome to the NBA. Welcome to the WNBA, rookie. This is what happens. You're a star rookie. You're going to have to, you know, earn it here. Fine. So I personally can only speak for myself. Maybe the reaction would have been, you know, over the top. It was egregious. It was more than a hard foul. It was a hate foul, whatever. But that play, we've watched it a million times as basketball fans. It's a hard foul. You're not giving up a three-point play. The reaction was a competitive reaction. Now, maybe some of what she screamed about, you know, going after her there, was, you know, part of the emotion of the of how she feels about Caitlin Clark. I'm not going to say that that wasn't the case. And I don't remember too many times when Caitlin Clark was getting targeted last year that she went after people telling them, you know, they're crazy or whatever Angel Reese was screaming. You know, this is just a reminder, by the way, and I think maybe the dumbest thing that we have seen in sports in a long, long time, and we talked about it in the for sure, but it's truly one of the dumbest decisions we've ever seen a league or an association make, was not putting Caitlin Clark on that Olympic team. You know, last year for the season, she had the number two sold basketball jersey in all of basketball, or not in the WNBA, in all of basketball. She outsold all but one NBA jersey. To be honest with you, I don't know what that number one jersey was. Could it have been Luka? May have been Luka last year because he made it to the finals. And the projections on what her Olympic jersey would have generated in revenue are in literally the hundreds of millions. Although I've read before, and not recently, that it is truly hard to project because every single time someone did a projection about the Caitlin Clark economic effect, they woefully underestimated the numbers. That truly is the dumbest thing we've seen in sports in a long, long time. And it wasn't like she was so far off from being one of the best 15 players. Maybe she wasn't the best one of the best 15 in that moment, but she was probably one of the best 25 or 30 in that moment. And for a sport that desperately needed exposure and attention, you had the number one needle mover in sports, and you kept her off the team. The amount that cost the USOC or women's basketball, they'll never be able to recover. Of course, I guess there are the 2028 Olympics. But, you know, there's risk there, right? Because maybe she ascends to being the top player in the sport, but maybe she just ascends to being one of the best 15. But there are three or four or five players that are just flat out bigger stars. And maybe not bigger stars, but better players. And you didn't know that in the moment last year. How the adults weren't able to step in and say, yeah, no, this isn't going to happen this way. Let us show you the difference between her on the team and her off the team. We have, you know, been a part of funding this league for 27 years. We are not going to look this gift horse in the mouth. Merrill Hodge he's got so many great perspectives on evaluating players before the draft. We didn't have him on before the draft, but you're going to hear my conversation with him from the other day post-draft. He's excellent. You'll hear it next.